I know every time we go to a Bible conference, and then the preachers will get up and let the lady folks know how much they appreciate all the meal, but these are not just idle words coming from me. That's good cooking. Denham Spring knows how to cook, the ladies. I don't know how much help y'all get from the men folk. I'm giving you ladies all the credit on this. It has been good. We have enjoyed it. I certainly appreciate the invitation that we were given. I'd have come anyway. I'll never forget. It's been several years ago. I was there, and somebody had a Bible conference somewhere was coming. I don't remember where. And somebody asked Brother Homer, said, are you invited for that Bible conference? He said, I don't need no invitation to serve the Lord. So you don't need an invitation to serve God. Just serve our precious Lord. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 18. 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 18. You know, I don't know if I am not preaching Brother David O'Neill's message, he's preaching mine. That happens at a lot. It happens at quite a few Bible conferences. I've experienced it anyway. And when he got up to preach, that was a wonderful message yesterday morning. I enjoyed it thoroughly. But, you know, it's something how the Lord can lay on the heart. Me and Brother David hadn't talked before this conference in a while. But, I mean, I'm not going to say exactly what he said, but he had my message to start with. If I'd have preached it first, it would have been a little bit different. But he did a wonderful, wonderful job on it. Here in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 18, I make no apology for preaching Christ. Let me say that on the offset. If the subject has been brought up, and if we repeat ourselves and preach over and over again, every brethren who is here at this Bible conference, we would never be able to exalt the message of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd rather preach Him than I had anything. And He's throughout this book. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He has always been. It's always been the plan of God, and that's what I want to talk to you about in just a minute. To begin with, didn't just start to be God's plan. You know, our Lord did go to Calvary. There's no question to that at all. He went to Calvary to lay down His life for His people. For the lost sheep. He went to the lost sheep. Now, there's a lot of sinners in this world, but has already been stated. Jesus Christ did not die for every sinner. He did die for those that are lost. He come to seek and save that which is lost. And if He seeks them, He's going to find them. Each and every one of them, those that belong to Him. Those who were given to Him from before the foundation of the world. I know that's not a new subject for this church. I don't believe there's an individual in this building that does not, or has not heard, I should say, that God had, before the foundation of the world, give individuals to Christ that He would redeem them in time. I mean, this is Bible language. It's what the Bible teaches. People can argue that. They can deny that. But if they deny that, then they are denying Scripture itself. And they're just assumed to call God a liar, which He is not. The Bible is very, very clear in Romans, the 5th chapter, and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But you know, there's reasons, and there's other reasons that Peter mentions in our text. And I want to try to cover some of that this morning. I'm going to be fair with you on the time. I just thought about looking at that clock. so I'm going to use it right now, not when I started. No. God had a plan to finish. God had a plan to finish. He said in verse 20, the apostle Peter said in verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you. It was an original plan. God's plan to redeem His own people was an original plan. This verse tells us what He did was foreordination. It was foreordained before the foundation of the world, before there was ever a world. Many believe that the word foreordained simply means advanced knowledge. That the Lord knew that He was going to send Christ into this world and that He would live this perfect, impeccable life, and then that He would go ahead and go on to Calvary. Of course, the vast majority of those today in the religious realm, and very, very many Baptists, you can believe this, they do not believe that God had foreordained the fact that Christ would come into this world and that He would die for a particular people, for certain individuals, and that it was pre-planned by God Almighty before the foundation of the world, that God knew what Jesus would do. Somebody says, well, you know, God knew what He would do, so He approved of Him on the cross of Calvary. I have even taken studies, Bible studies, what have you, and question was asked, did God approve of the death of Christ? And obviously He did. It pleased God for the bruising. And I stated it, and I gave a thesis upon it, and gave the scriptures on it, and I got a great big old red X on that. I failed that test, but I'll tell you what, God agreed with me on it. And the Bible agrees with me on it as well. Whenever God, before the foundation of the world, purposed that Christ would come into this world, He was pleased that the Lord Jesus Christ would suffer, that He would die. And He would die for His people, that He would shed His blood for certain individuals. It's not advanced knowledge at all, it's advanced planning. God had planned the whole thing purposely Himself. God the Father not only knew what Christ would do, He knew the Lord Jesus Christ would be able to do it as well, and He planned every detail on it. God plans everything anyway. This plan was in the heart of God before sin was in the heart of man. God knew what was going to take place. He knew that there was going to be the sin nature upon every individual, spiritually dead. So there had to be someone to come in and to redeem them. I know, and I really do believe, there's many Christians in this building right now. You've been here since Friday, heard some wonderful messages. There might be some, even if it's just one here, that's lost. Our heart's desire is that God would take His Word. He uses the preaching of the gospel. That God would open up hearts. Cause people to be able to see truth and what truth really is. There's many truths. Christ said, He's the truth, the way, and the life. So He is the truth. And there's many truths, and very many truths have been preached right here from this pulpit since Friday evening. Before Adam had ever sinned there in the garden, God had His plan that would culminate in the death of the Savior there upon that tree at Calvary for the reconciliation of lost sinners, those whom God had already purposed that they would be redeemed by the finished work of Christ. In fact, as far as God is concerned, Jesus Christ died before the world was ever formed. You know, and I may have mentioned the other evening, God is the now God. We have a hard time with that because we do everything in time. And I'm the world's worst for time. I fix I used to actually write an itinerary on different things for days, and if we would go anywhere, I've got to where now I just try to remember it. I fix an itinerary, and I want to do it. If we're going somewhere, and I'll use the GPS, even if I know how to get where I'm going, so I can try to beat it just a little bit, so I can start what I need to do a little bit later on. But here's the thing. God had purposed all of this, and He put man in time. We're in time. We've never been in time. It changes God. It doesn't change God. It changes man, as has been mentioned the other day. In Revelation, the 13th chapter, in verse 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." That's what I want you to notice. From the foundation of the world. That's a picture of pure grace. Pure grace. Meted out by God Almighty. That God would provide for salvation before there was anyone to save. There was not a world. Adam had not been created. There was no sin at all. But there was also no other plan. One plan. Just one. And not many plans. Many look at the Lord Jesus Christ dying on that tree. And I'll tell you what, they conclude that there must be some sort of mistake. Because surely God wouldn't have allowed His Son to go through all that He went through. To start with, God never makes a mistake. He's never made a mistake. The cross did not catch Him by surprise. Everything that took place, God was not surprised. There was no plan B. There was, in case plan A doesn't work, God didn't have another plan to do it. This was the only plan, but it's the perfect plan. It is the plan that God had purposed. God does not have many plans concerning salvation for many people. His plan of salvation is one. It's more. You see, you've got Baptists. Obviously, we believe what we believe. The Bible teaches. You've got other denominations, and they believe. It doesn't make any difference how many denominations it is. One plan. That's all. Just one plan. The only way anybody is saved, anyone is saved, is trusting the finished work of Christ. And I will tell you what. When a person saved by the grace of God, when he's really saved, he'll learn the person and the work of Christ. And that's what we need to know. The person and the very work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This familiar passage in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. God never did have in His plan anything concerning man trying, doing his very best to reach God. Doing his best to be saved and to please God. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's not one thing, brethren and sisters, that you and I have done to receive this salvation. We are recipients of salvation because of the grace of God Almighty. And because whenever Christ went and died there upon the tree, He did so because, first of all, God's plan. And God had given individuals to the Son to be redeemed, and Christ accomplished that. And in time, we come to Him at His time, the time of love, in fact. God never planned for men to make their own God. In other words, to worship just the way that they want to worship. We have a right to worship, but we have a right to worship as the Scripture describes here as well. And Christ. Now, in Isaiah the 45th chapter, verse 22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth," he says, "for I am God, and there is none else." I am God. I want you to notice this with me now. There was a payment to pay. Peter said in verses 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And why did He go? There was a plan. God had purposed that Christ would go. There was a people to be redeemed. In God's plan, there was a ransom payment. Wasn't anybody around? Not then. I'll tell you what, before there was a creation, I believe there was the triune God. Now, I'm not going to get into all this right here. Maybe we'll talk sometimes. I'm not going to argue with anybody on it. But people believe that angels have always been. I don't believe that. God created angels when He wanted to create angels, and He did at that time. God created man. He spoke this world into existence. And the man that He created was created just exactly the way God wanted him to be created. God gave him that belief. Adam knew beyond any doubt that God is God and that He's sovereign. He knew that. When our Lord Jesus Christ died, He was paying a debt that He did not owe. He was paying a debt that we owe, Christian, but were unable to pay. We were unable to pay it before we were saved. And I'll tell you what, if you've been saved 50 years, you still haven't learned enough to be able to say or think, well, but you know, my works and what I've done, surely that's helped some. We haven't done anything at all. It was something because Christ had taken just an old carcass, a spiritually dead carcass, and He resurrected that. And what were we doing? We were running in the other direction. If you wasn't, I was the only one doing it then, because I was certainly running in the other direction. I'd never made any plans to. I was raised up in church now. Martha knows that, and Harold and everybody, raised up in church. That don't mean I was raised up a Christian. I don't talk to them about that now. We're not perfect, but at the same time, God makes a difference. He paid a debt. He paid the debt that I could not pay, that I didn't want to. The only way that could be delivered was a ransom price. There was a ransom price that had to be paid. The only way to understand this is to look at it from a biblical point of view. Here's the thing. Look in Genesis, the second chapter, and I'll go there in just a minute. When He made man, He made him, as I said, innocent, placed him in a garden, and He took care of every need. He supplied everything for Adam. And Adam believed God, and there was communication between them. And God told the man that there's a certain tree in the garden that you're not to eat the fruit. Listen, and I know you're familiar with this, but and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden, in the Garden of Eden, to dress it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." This meant that man would die immediately in a spiritual sense. Adam died right then. He didn't die. That old body stayed. I think he lived until he was 930 years old, physically, but he died spiritually right then, separated from God. Isaiah 59 and 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." That's the depravity of an individual. When Adam ate that forbidden fruit right there on that tree, man died just as God said that he would. God told Adam that this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to die. What Adam understood about dying then, I have no idea, because I don't even know if there was no sin. I don't even think I don't even think a dead leaf fell off a tree. I don't believe it did. Adam didn't know anything. But I'll tell you what, he knew God was God. It wasn't that Adam didn't believe God. Adam was not deceived at all. He did what he did willingly. He did that willingly. Eve disobeyed first, but we didn't fall in the woman, did we? We fell in the man. We fell in Adam. But he was separated from God. There was no spiritual life. Every single person born into this world is born spiritually dead. We all love our children, don't we, and our grandchildren. We love them tremendously. But let me tell you something. They're born little old stinkers. I mean, just sinners. They'll lie to you. They'll try to deceive you and do all sorts of things, just like we did whenever we were babies. I'm talking about growing as you grow up. Begin to grow. And the only thing that puts spiritual life in an individual is that perfect plan of God concerning His own. Thus He sent Christ Jesus into this world. The very whole of His offspring, Adam's offspring, they're born into sin. So what takes place? Now, man needs a Savior. If there's anyone here lost right now, you can't save yourself, therefore you're in need. You need someone who can and someone who will, someone who is able, someone who could pay that sin debt for you. He must be a near kinsman. According to the Scriptures, Leviticus, the 25th chapter, read that. Read the book of Ruth. And you can see it in that. He must be able to redeem. He must be willing to redeem. He must be free from any calamity or anything himself so that he can redeem. Because if he needs to be redeemed, then he can't redeem anybody. But he didn't need to be redeemed. He never sinned, did he? See, that would have offset God's plan. But he couldn't sin because he's God. God's plan was never offset. What he planned, I mean, it's still effective today. It's still just exactly the way God had planned it. Nothing changes. The government, they can try to change it all they want to. They can't touch it. False religions, they can try to change the Word of God all they want to. Different translations of the Scriptures, they can try to change it all they want to. It's still God's plan, and it's all the same. Adam had sinned against God, but the Lord God had already devised a plan. His Son would come into this world, and He would live an impeccable life, and He would go to the cross of Calvary, and He would die a vicarious death, substitutionary death. He would be buried for 3 days and three nights, I believe 72 hours. By Saturday evening, He resurrected. 3 days and three nights. And He resurrected, proving our justification. That He was seen upon this earth for many, many days. Many days by multitudes of people. And then He ascended into glory. And that's where He is right now as our advocate. Salvation, Peter is saying, does not come through worldly things like silver and gold. Or worthless religious activities, vigils. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, it only comes through the precious shed blood, not spilled, shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9 and 12 and following, notice, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so it is. Before there was ever a world, God's plan, there was only the triune God. And the God, the Father would send the Son, and the Son would agree, and He must come to this earth. And I'll tell you what, there's no variance with the persons of the Trinity on what their work is. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank God for the Holy Spirit in that He teaches us. He teaches us these things. Not that you just have a mind to learn. You have the Holy Spirit teaching you. You have a heart and a soul to learn. It goes further than the intellect. It's not just the intellect. There's a lot of brilliant people out there. I know one person. He's always taught. He's a preacher. He said he is. And he always talking about how he's a sovereign grace preacher. I've heard him a few times, not all that much. Never heard him one time mention anything about the sovereignty of God. Not the first time. Grace or anything, except while we were sitting and talking. He can sit down and talk to me with all the theology concerning, you know, what the 5 points of Calvinism, for instance. But, I mean, I'm not a Calvinist. But all, and he can lay it all right down the line. Anybody can learn doctrines intellectually. Beloved, God places it in your heart. And in that very soul. Whatever he does, it's like the songwriter. He was prompted to write a song. And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there's nothing else that can. Notice with me verses 18 and 19 again. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This comes to us from the ancient world of the slave trade that had gone on. Made him to buy a slave off of that old trade block, you know, and to deliver that person, and they would be completely free from all that bondage. And so it is with Christ. He paid the price. 100%. He broke those chains of sin that had always bound us and held us captive. I'll tell you what. He came to us to do what we could not do for ourselves. That's why there's so much religion going on right now, because people have this void, so they want to try to please their God, whoever that might be. They want to try to please Him, so they'll go to certain churches perhaps, and they'll tell them, here's what you have to do. Only God can take a person and convict him of his sin nature and the death of that sin nature. And he does it every single time with each and every one concerning his original plan, and that is that he had chosen individuals to be redeemed by Christ Jesus, and that Christ would come, and as we have already said, live that perfect life, be able to redeem them, and then he takes each and every one of them in time. They'll hear the gospel, they'll hear the truth, and the Lord will save them. He came to save us from our sins, to set us free. He came to change us from our descriptions, lost in trespasses and sins, in our directions. Whenever we were saved, we were not headed toward God at all. In our devotions, in our destinations. And only God can do that, and nobody else. Let me just mention a couple other things, and then I'll be done. It won't take me just a few minutes. Here was a people to free. In verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Christ Jesus, as we've said repeatedly, come into this world to redeem people from the bondage of sin. He was manifest for you, the believer, and all those who will believe and who do believe and who God gives that faith to believe. And that power comes from God. He set you free. He set you free. Made them able to serve. Made them willing to serve. In fact, those who are not saved today, I'll tell you what, they are more bound than they realize. They are more bound. Verse 18 mentions two things, or it mentions a thing. Let me tell you this, that binds the sinner from which the Lord Jesus Christ come to set his people free. In verse 18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, just hear it from an empty existence. That's what every person that's lost. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of a life. You're not worshiping the Creator. You're not worshiping God. And I know for those that are lost, there's no desire to do that at all. I know they can't do that, but still, it's a waste of an entire life. If they live to be 100, they've wasted every bit of that. The word conversation refers to the method of a life concerning an individual, the behavior of a life. The behavior of our life should be to worship our Lord and our Savior. To be obedient to Him, to serve Him. The word vain here means empty. Unbelievers, those who are not redeemed, are living empty lives. I mean, it's just void. They might even be what the world would call a good person. They may get out and help the poor and do all of those things. But I'll tell you what, they're not worshiping the Lord. And here's another thing, and I'll be done. Christians who are Christians have been Christians for quite some time. And they'll go to church perhaps on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, and that's the extent of their worship. That's just pretty well the extent. May not even pick up their Bible during the week. Such knows who I'm talking about. I don't. I don't know the heart of anybody. What kind? I'll tell you what. That's not how we ought to worship a wonderful God that from the very beginning planned to save you. He had you on His mind and in His heart and gave you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we ought to worship Him. God bless you. Amen.